Thank you. trust and obtain true consolation. While we here below must wander, till we sing thy praises yonder.
Please join me now as we read in unison the text for today from Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I hear this passage, I think back to the time when I was pastor of a congregation a number of years ago, and it had just come from a confirmation service. I had had the privilege of confirming the boy and the family, and now they were having a gathering there at their home, and on this beautiful sheet cake was this passage. I think it was the boy's passage for the day. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And the reference there to Luke 11:28. It was very ornate and covered the whole cake. And I think the cake, too, if I remember right, was pretty much shaped in the form of a Holy Bible. And then the lady handed me the knife and said I would have the first privilege there of cutting the cake and taking a piece for myself. I got to admit to you that at first I thought, wow, this seems a little improper to cut into something so nice as this. And then, of course, I remember there's another verse, too, right, that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus' words are certainly very familiar to us. You probably have had these words put to memory, maybe at your confirmation time. And as you think about learning those words in connection with the third commandment, remember what Luther said too is the meaning to that commandment. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. The words are pretty simple of the passage here before us. Profound truth, though, isn't it? And it's hard to put it into practice exactly what this is saying when it says keep it, too. Regularly use the word, hear it, read it, so on, and keep it. And yet we also know, too, don't we, that there's just a wonderful blessing that the Lord is telling us about here, too, as we use the word contentment, joy, confidence, and so on for life, for eternal life. Realize the context of these words for a moment. Jesus spoke these very familiar words in connection with a miracle that he had performed. He had just cast a demon out of a man who was mute. And a lot of people were assuming that he, and going around saying too, that he had done this as a result of being in cahoots with Beelzebub. That in other words, he had done it by the power of the devil himself, cast out this demon. And Jesus, however, let everyone know there that he had done this miracle by the finger of God. That's an expression he used, the finger of God. And then he launched into quite a little speech about Satan. He talked about Satan, yes, as being a very strong man. And think of his minions that way too, all the evil angels. And yet then Jesus said, when a stronger one comes along, meaning himself, of course, then he certainly takes over and conquers this so-called strong one from the world and completely devastates him. And it's interesting. Then there was a cry from the crowd as the people were amazed by what he was saying. And there was a woman there who said, blessed be the woman who gave birth to you and nursed you. And then our Lord says, nah, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's interesting that one of our great Lutheran theologians, Dr. Walther, says right here when it came to this, Jesus speaking this verse, he says, here the Lord is identifying very carefully for us the finger of God. The finger of God is the Word. The Holy Scriptures that we have for us, because he said that's how Satan's kingdom really is defeated for our benefit too. That is constantly our source. And the Holy Spirit is bound to that word. Why is the Bible, why is that the word, the finger of God, why is that so important for our life? Because you know that it's in that word that we're directed to Christ, our Savior. And in that word, we also know that God is working through the power of His Holy Spirit. He's working to bring us to faith and then to keep us in the faith, to preserve our faith. That's why we often do talk about the Word, too, as being the sword of the Spirit. There's an interesting thing that happens in the in chapter 5 of John's Gospel. Do you recall that Jesus was giving proof there for why he was the Son of God? And there were people who were questioning his ability to be able to say that about himself, charging him with blasphemy and so on. How could he call himself God himself, come in the flesh, the Son of God? And then what did Jesus do? He pointed to four things, really. He pointed them to John the Baptist, John the Baptist's testimony. Then he said he had a testimony, a witness that was greater than John the Baptist. And he said it was the miracles that he was performing among them. And then he said, even greater, there was another witness, and that was the witness of the Heavenly Father himself, his own Father, saying this about him. And then Jesus came with the fourth one, and he said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. You and I don't have John the Baptist to sit down with and talk with. You and I don't have the miracles that we've seen in person from those years of Jesus' public ministry. You and I were not there at the Jordan River when we heard the Father speak those words, this is my beloved Son, and we're to listen to Him. But you and I do have that wonderful Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. You and I do have the finger of God, right, as we would say. How are we doing when it comes to using this finger of God, the Holy Word of God? Maybe say it's a little strange to ask it, of course, when we're here in chapel. After all, too, our classes are permeated with the Word of God, the one thing needful on this campus. But we want to dig deeper, don't we, into the recesses of our own heart, our conscience. How pure really is our motive always when it comes to the use of the Word of God? This powerful testimony of Christ. Is it a real priority for us? Are we really eager to take it up? Just as eager as maybe researching whatever else that's of interest to you, hobby-wise and so on, sports and so on. Are we eager to get into it? And then, too, I want to ask this question. Could it be that sometimes we do quite a bit of selective searching, we could say, in the word, just selective searching. You know what I'm talking about. You use the internet a lot. And you can go out on the internet and use the search engines, right? You know, it's interesting. If we were to take a look at how people are often using the search engines, what are they in many cases doing? They're trying to find something out there, and in many cases, they're trying to find something out there that might already agree with their preconceived ideas. And it makes them happy when they find something that way, and they can use it maybe for whatever purpose. Maybe it's to settle that argument with a roommate. Google comes in handy, eh? Yahoo, whatever. Coffee, good or bad for you? You maybe have your own idea already. Well, you go out and find your own study that'll support that, eh? Probably can find it somewhere out there, whatever you want to do. Vitamins and supplements, how do you stand on that issue? How about whether it's worthwhile to spend all that money going to college compared to entering the workplace a little bit early? Thank God you listened to the right report and that you're here. Yes, I think that this can easily happen to us when it comes to the Word of God. We too can be guilty, I believe, at times of kind of the slice and dice approach. And it's real easy for this to happen to us in our day and age today because of the pressure out there in society to conform, the peer pressure, as we say. Yes, we can have our own way of going into the Word of God when we're a little bit interested to find that thing that might agree more with our preconceived idea. Oh, no, yeah, let's refer to that. I remember having a friend in high school who said, oh, his favorite book was always the book of Proverbs because he had so many neat little sayings out there that often agreed with things in life. Well, it's a wonderful book, but the entirety of God's Word is there for us, the entirety. And not just what we're interested in finding. And whether we're a student or a professor or administrator, whether we're a longtime Christian or one relatively new to the faith, we got to remind ourselves, don't we, all the time, that there's that whisper out there that comes from the strong man of the world that hasn't really changed from the time that he whispered that to the first lady of the world. Did God really say? Did he really say it that way? Our sins before God in relation to the use of God's word are many, and especially too when we hear what James says. Remember in James it says, don't just listen to the word of God and then go away and not do what it says. It says that would be like a man who sees himself in a mirror, and after looking at himself in the mirror, then he goes away. And he just completely forgets what he looks like. But the same word of God brings us a blessing. Jesus says that here, doesn't he? Blessed are they. And of course, the reason it brings the blessing for you and me, for every one of us here, is because it points us to himself. Jesus Christ, the one who has come, the Son of God, come to make atonement, complete payment, complete satisfaction before the Holy God for every sin in our life. He took all of our sins and he nailed them to the cross there so that those sins can never rise up against us again when it comes to our standing with our God. And remember, our Lord Jesus, in his own life, when it came to the strong man, how did he deal with the strong man? You recall, out there in the wilderness, again and again, it was repeated, right? It is written. It is written. It is written. That's the young boy there in the temple. Was he just interested in doing a selective kind of search of Scripture? He wowed those that were the scholars in God's Word, bringing out the whole gems of the Scripture, as he even asked the searching questions himself. Yes, and he did that, by the way, for you and me. He did that for every sinner in the world, his obedience in regard to the Word of God. That's amazing that he lived the holy life in our place. And his holiness, counting for ours now, this great message of the gospel for us is what also moves us now to want to take it to heart, to want to do as the last part of that verse says, really keep it, to pray that the Lord would have us every day have the attitude, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. To follow out what that word says, not as a way of earning our salvation, certainly not, but as a way of thanking for salvation. The Bible is very rich with references about the Savior. I know we know that quickly about the New Testament, but think about the Old Testament too. So many verses there. One Christian scholar says 127 personal messianic predictions are in the 3,348 passages of the Old Testament. And he goes on to say this, when we take a look at what the Jewish rabbis would say are also referring in the Old Testament scriptures to the Messiah. It says 456 Old Testament passages are cited in over 550 rabbinical writings that refer to the Messiah and the Messianic times. Remember how our Lord on that road to Emmaus, talking with those disciples, what does it say that he did there? It says that, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was written in all of the scriptures concerning himself. Seeing Jesus in his word, in that word which has embedded in it the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which also empowers the sacraments that way, moves us to want to pull that book off the shelf, that wonderful book, to blow off the dust and to utilize it, to mine the treasures of every page for our life. Blessings will come. Sometimes those blessings may come more gradually as time goes on. Dr. Luther said that sometimes it could really be like embers out there lying in ashes. But when all of a sudden the wind starts to blow a little bit and there's a stirring of it, it kind of comes to life again and brings strength for our life. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Yep, look at your Bible, the finger of God. Utilize that scripture. Dig into it. It's tastier than any wonderful tasting delicious cake. Dig into it. Because that word gives us the Savior, his forgiveness. It brings it right to the doorsteps of our heart. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he opens our stubborn door. And he comes in and he dwells there. Remember the passage in John, near the end, it just says this. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Dear friends, in this way, taste and see, the Lord is good. Amen. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have sown your holy word among us. We pray that you will prepare our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may diligently and reverently hear your word, keep it in good hearts, and bring forth fruit with patience. And that we may not incline to sin, but subdue it by your power, and in all persecutions comfort ourselves with your grace and continual help. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.